His presence, we make Him welcome here. Hallelujah. This is His service, not ours. So we surrender to Him to move as He choose to do. Hallelujah. Glory to Your name, Father God. And Father God, I ask You to speak through me, use me for Your glory, not for mine, but for Your glory. Use me. May I say the words today that You have preordained to be spoken to this people at this particular time. Hallelujah. And I pray, Father, that they will have ears to hear Your word, ears to hear Your word, ears to hear Your word, but not only just hearers, ears to hear, but an open heart to receive Your word. May they be hungry for more of You, hungry for the word of God, hungry for the things of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord Jesus. We give You glory, Father. And we give You praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, last Wednesday we got rained out and wind out and whatever. But so it's good to be back together again. Amen. Praise God. It's been over a week since I seen you folks. So let me take a good look at you. And you know what? Y'all still pretty. Y'all still blessed. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. And I hope you receive those words. I knew you would. I didn't even have to say it, but hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, turn in your Bibles again to Revelation. Book of Revelation, chapter 3. Over the past weeks, have you been blessed by revelation? And believe me, please understand, we haven't been exhaustive here. We're just really hitting some highlights of some things, but there's so much more. Isn't the word of God wonderful? Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. And so tonight, I want us to take a look at the Laodicean church, which is the seventh church. So drop down to verse 14 and I'll read beginning at verse 14. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. Because you say, I'm rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Jesus tells it like it is, don't he? I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I what? As many as I love, I do what? Wow. Hallelujah. As many as I love, I rebuke. In other words, if you don't want to be corrected, you got big problems. If we're going to walk with Christ, he's going to correct us because he loves us. Amen. Now, I don't want to get too much into this, but I will say this. Verse 19, notice what Jesus said, as many as I love, I rebuke, I correct, and so forth. Too many times we are taught that he rebukes us and corrects us by placing sickness, disease, causing bad things to happen to us. When we see right here in the Word of God, Jesus says that he loves us. Amen. He loves us. What happens sometimes, we get our own selves in trouble. And sometimes we have doors open that we should close. Close those doors. Amen. And sometimes there's a secret attack of the enemy that maybe we didn't see coming. We didn't know it was coming. But there's a secret attack of the enemy. But guess what? God has answers for that. Hallelujah. It's hard to bring the two together, that Jesus loves us, and the Bible plainly states that he does. Amen? Amen. The Bible is very clear on the fact, and it is the fact, that Jesus loves us. So if he loved me, then why would he try to kill me? Why, I'm walking with him the best I know how. You know, we all growing in the things of God, right? We all growing in the things of God. We are walking with God. We love God. May not be perfect, but we're growing. And we love him. Yet he's trying to destroy us. That don't add up. So when you see the word rebuked or correct, that doesn't mean God's trying to throw cancer on you or trying to kill you in a car wreck or something like that. That's not what he's doing. What he's doing is correcting us. How many of you have children that you love? You love your kids. Amen. Well, because you love your kids, whether they small or teenagers or maybe full-grown adults, you know, because you love them, you're not going to do anything to harm them. But you will give them a piece of your mind. For their good. Because you love them. Amen. That's one of the reasons the Bible says he that spares the rod spoils his child. When you don't apply discipline And that's, discipline is not child abuse. Let me repeat that. Discipline, godly discipline is not child abuse. But you discipline them because you love them. And you want what's best for them. You don't want them spoiled. You don't want them hurt, injured, or just simply going off in the wrong direction simply because they hadn't been taught. Amen. Well, you know, I stopped right there for a little while, so let me read verse 19 again, and then we'll move on a little further. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. So when God tells us things that are wrong in our lives, we need to be zealous and we need to go ahead and repent. In verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. To him who overcome, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, if you have at least one ear, shout amen. Amen. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Glory be to God. Now, this Laodicean church was known as a lukewarm church. Lukewarm church. In other words, they had a little bit of heat mixed in with some cold. You ever drank lukewarm coffee? I have, and it's not very good. It's not good at all. Now, some folk like cold coffee. There's some folks that like cold coffee, iced coffee, or whatever you want to say. But I like mine hot. When I do drink coffee, I want it hot. Amen. So now, first of all, again, notice that Jesus always identified himself. In verse 14 of this letter to the Laodicean church, it says, to the angel of the church of the Laodicean writes, these things says the Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus refers to himself as the Amen. I tell you what, everything that he says, our response should be what?
Amen.
Yes, if it's coming out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ, if it's coming out of the Word of God, we should all be saying Amen. Hallelujah. These things says the Amen, the faithful, and true witness. He's faithful, isn't he? See, there's a message that Jesus is trying to get over to this particular church. But remember, I always tell you that we are to learn from what Jesus spoke to these folks. We are to learn. And he let them know that he is faithful. He can be trusted. You can depend on him. And he's the true witness and the beginning of the creation of God. Hallelujah. The Son of God existed before he came to the earth. Hold your place there at Revelation chapter 3, and let's go back to another of the Apostle John's gospel, which is the gospel of John. Go turn back to the very first chapter. Now, Jesus identified himself as the beginning of the creation of God. Now, look at the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the what? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. You could say it this way. In the beginning was Jesus. And Jesus was with God. And Jesus was God. Now, God the Father gave him his name. So you can actually say it this way. In the beginning was the Son of God. And the Son of God was with God. And the Son of God, what? Was God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we won't go into all that this evening, but I want you to understand something. Jesus always, best I can say it, was. We won't go there, but remember what Jesus said. He said, before Abraham was, how many of you remember the rest of that? Before Abraham was, I am. Hallelujah. Jesus is always in the present tense. God's always in the present tense. The Holy Spirit is always in the present tense. Amen. Now, who do you reckon created time? God did. God did. He created time. And we live by time. If I ask you how old you are, that lets me know how long you've been on the earth. Amen? Amen. We live by time. We get up in the morning by time. How many of you set your clock in the morning? Amen. I don't set my clock, but I have a clock. Her name is Kathy. Because she always get up usually before me. Very seldom do I get up before her. She does. She's usually up before I am, and then she wakes me up. And so for the last 50 years, I've just grown accustomed to that. So if it ain't broke, why try to fix it? Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes I have to get up before she does. But most of the time, she's up before me. Any of you other wives up before your husbands? Come on, let me see. I just want to see. Oh, okay. But it depends on what your jobs. It depends on a lot of things. And I say that she always got up before me, but when I was working, especially with you, Jim, there were some times I had, because we worked crazy shifts, brother, back in the mid-70s, man. And so sometimes I had to be up and out and gone because we worked all three shifts and sometimes 12-hour shifts. So, but anyway, let me get back on point here. God is the creator of time for our sake. Amen. But there's coming, and I have to use to say it this way, there's coming a time that we will be in our new bodies in the forever and ever and ever and ever. Supernatural. We won't get old. Now, I heard somebody say one time, and I don't know, you know, I don't know if you can back this up with scripture or not, but somebody say that they believe anyway that those of us that are older, when we get to heaven, our new body is gonna bring us back to our 30s. Now, don't, you know, I didn't say that. That's just something I, you know, don't go tell anybody that that's what the Bible says, because I'm just relaying something that I heard a preacher say one time, that we'll all be young again. Well, we'll all be young again. Well, I we're certainly not going to be old and bent over and can barely walk. Amen. Because we'll be in our supernatural body, immortal body. And rest assured, keep your hand down, sister, but rest assured, we're all going to be good looking. Amen. Did you say that'll work, brother? It'll work for me too. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And here's the good thing about it. It will never change. It will never change. I don't know what color my hair going to be in heaven, but I know one thing. It'll never change. And I will have some. See, you know, it baffles me why even some believers are not really excited about their future. Because they are bogged down with the cares of this world and things that are going on here, that they have lost the excitement. Jesus says, I'm going away and I'm going to prepare a place for you. Didn't he? And then he said, first of all, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions, are many dwelling places. And he says, I'm going and I'm preparing a place for you. Say this, say, he's preparing a place for me. And I would think it's already prepared. Because Jesus been gone over 2,000 years. It doesn't take him long to do anything. So I believe our mansion, our dwelling place is already prepared for us. And it's not going to be a shack. Glory to God. And then he said, I'll come again. And I'll take you with me, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, I don't know about y'all, but that excites me. And it motivates me, as they say in the song, It motivates me to run on. Don't have time to quit. I don't even have time to slow down. Amen. Got to have the mindset that the Apostle Paul had. He says he's running the race to win, to finish his course. And even he was excited about his future. When this earthen tabernacle can no longer hold his spirit, he says, I got another place. Amen. Now, if that excites you, let me see your hands. Glory to God. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, glory to God. So let me read, I want to read the first five verses. I started out reading. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. That's what Jesus said in Revelation 3. All things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. Did y'all grab that? In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Darkness was unable to dim or put out this light. Amen? All right, praise God. All right, let's go back to Revelation chapter 3. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, Jesus proceeds to rebuke them a little bit here. Verse 15, this is Revelation 3 now. Verse 15, Jesus says, I know your works. Now let me stop right there. Jesus knows our works as individuals, and he knows our works collectively as a church. We cannot get anything by him. We can't fool him. We can fool one another. We can deceive one another. We can put on an outward show for one another, but God looks at our heart. He knows the real me. As I stand before you, God knows the real me. And he knows the real you. Amen. He says, I know your works. Everybody say, ouch. That you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. Remember I said this was known as a lukewarm church? That means if they were lukewarm, it was kind of like straddling the fence, you know. Had some of God, some of the world. Some of God, some of the world, and they were mixing the two. You have folks in some churches crying, hopefully not this one, hopefully not, but they're hungry for the world. But they want to hold on to God as a fire insurance policy. In other words, they don't want to die and go to hell. They want God's blessings on their lives. If they get sick, they want the healing power of God right there. working for them. If they have a lack of finances, they want God to come through for them. But as soon as God comes through for them, guess what? They're back over here with the world. Y'all probably know some folk like that. God's not pleased at that. Matter of fact, Jesus said, you know, you're lukewarm. You're neither cold nor hot. And this is what Jesus said. He says, my goodness, I wish you were one or the other. I wish you were one or the other. If you're going to be cold, go ahead and be cold. If you're going to be hot, be hot. At least folk know where you stand. Folk know where we stand. Now, this is Jesus speaking to this church. You reckon he's talking to the modern-day church today? I think so. So, verse 16, he say, so then, because you are lukewarm, and before I read verse 16, let me say this. The church is made up of individuals. Amen? The church is made up of individuals. So in order for the church to be lukewarm, guess what? The church was composed of lukewarm individuals. Most likely, the majority of them were lukewarm. So, verse 16 again. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, this is strong here, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Jesus used the analogy of an upset stomach. Now, I don't want to gross anybody out, but when I was growing up as a child, my parents didn't use the word vomit, throw up. They used the word puke. Anybody ever heard that word? Yeah. I'm not trying to mess you up. But the thing about it is, when you're throwing up or vomiting, you are getting rid of something. Your body is getting rid of something that it don't want. Your body is getting rid of something that's not helpful to it. It's getting rid of something that's making it sick. Now, Jesus wasn't talking about vomiting or throwing up physically. He was making a point. This is a spiritual lesson. Are you still with me? He wants us to be one or the other. Let the world know, let the church know whose side you're on. If you're on the devil's side, make it plain. At least we'll know. We don't want to be wolves in sheep's clothing, do we? We want to be for real. We want to be for real. If we're for God, be for God. Now, this church had some issues. I go on another few minutes. Listen to what he said. Look at verse 6. 17, because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Why don't Jesus say what he really means? Oh, he does. He's saying exactly what he means. What's he talking about here? These people were wealthy people. I mean, they were prosperous people, but they made a terrible mistake. They began to trust in their wealth. They began to trust in their money. They began to feel like they were better than anyone else because they had a lot of money. They were rich. They trusted in their money. Whatever they needed, they could buy it. Now, I know some folks would look, see, I told you, you know, God doesn't want us to have money. He doesn't want us. That's not what they're saying. Jesus is rebuking this church because they trust their riches and not God. Remember the Ten Commandments? God says that he's a jealous God and we are not to have any God before him. Thank God for prosperity. Thank God for his blessings. How many of y'all know we need to prosper? We are supposed to prosper, right? We are supposed to prosper. We are supposed to prosper. Guess what? We got to eat. We have to buy clothes. We have to buy transportation. We have to pay a light bill. And I could go on and on and on. In order to have these things, guess what? You've got to have some what? You got to have some money. You got to have some money. So God is not against money, but he's against those who trust in their money. Praise God. I'm not going to get as far along. Excuse me. On this, as I thought I was. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6. We'll probably visit this again next time. I'll just pick it up at verse 6. It says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. When we leave, it's not coming with us. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Look at this. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. Excuse me. But that's not all he said. Look at verse 10. For the love of money, everybody say love of it. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the what? Y'all still with me? Verse 10. All right, let me read it again. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their what? In their what? I can't hear you. In their greediness, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Notice what it did not say. It did not say that the money itself was evil, but the love of it, because when you love it, you're going to compromise to get it. And it can eventually have you off somewhere away from God, chasing money. I tell people this, even when you have a job offer, don't accept it, don't take it without first consulting God. Did y'all hear what I just said? You may have a job offer that's going to make you more money than you're making right now, but before you accept it, consult God. Consult God. I've heard people say, well, you know, I'm moving such a place, I'm moving there, I'm going here, I'm moving to this plant, whatever, because I'll make more money. Well, more money is fine, but have you talked to God about it first? Have you talked to God about it? I remember years ago, there was a job opportunity open for me. And I even went and took classes to be qualified to do this job. But we prayed about it. Kathy and I prayed about it. And it just wasn't clicking. There was more money to be made. And we, Lord, we needed more money, but something was not right. You know what God did? He turned it around and caused me to get a raise in my present job that I had because we were praying about it. But had I taken the job that I trained for, I doubt this ministry would be in existence. At least I wouldn't be the pastor, most likely. Folks, God always has the better plan. He's got the better plan. Always consult Him. In everything. In everything. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And what will He do? He'll direct our path. Everything that smells good is not for us. Everything that looks good is not for us. As believers, we need to pray about everything. Bring it before the Lord. He may give you the peace. He may say, go ahead, go with it. Then you do that. But if you got that little stoplight on the inside of you, you better slow down. because you may be about to make the wrong exit, which is going to cause you problems down the road. Now, I'm getting ready to close, but let me say this. I've seen it in the lives of people. They've made piles of money. Some moved away, and I mean, they loaded. But Lord, they don't walk with Jesus anymore. Now it's all about their job, what they're doing. But they're not walking with the Lord anymore. When I knew them, when they had less money, they were fired up for God. They loved the things of God. But now they've cooled off. God doesn't want us to cool off. I'd rather be poor and on fire for God than to be rich and cold. You hear me? But God promised he'd meet our needs, didn't he? And maybe we'll talk about that some next week. Praise God. But that's the problem this church had. They was caught up in their riches. They didn't need anything. They didn't need God for anything because they thought they had everything. And because of that, they became a lukewarm church. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word would never, ever return to you void. Never.